welcome to episode 2 of the Grass-Fed Podcast with Clayton Carpenter. I'm Clayton Carpenter, your host, and tonight I'm flying solo. We had about 80 minutes of good recording done with Justin Andrew Salas of the Juice Dive, my favorite and the cleanest restaurant here in San Pedro. But I had some phone difficulties. We lost the recording. Scheduled another one for a time soon. But I'm headed back to Cayo tomorrow. So it was great to meet Justin. Thank you, Justin. It was incredible. Nice to meet you and your brother. I'll always remember his introduction on our attempted podcast as, "Hey, I'm Alex. I'm the little brother." Because that's how I always introduce myself, because I am the little brother. I have 5 older siblings, and that's usually how I introduce myself. "Hey, I'm the little brother." So, thank you guys. Thank you for bringing me into your home and your place of work today. The shop was awesome. I'll have some pictures up at wearegrassfed.com/thejuicedive. Actually, scratch that. wearegrassfed.com/juicedive. Link will be below, either way. So, let's get into it. Since I'm flying solo, I was talking with Danny, my best friend, partner on Grass-Fed Media, social media, worker, lead, aficionado for Grass-Fed, host of The Free Nation at The Free Nation, or Free Nation Music, or something like that. The link will be below, at DannyOrtiz96. Anyways, let's get to the business. He prepared some questions, and I accidentally glanced at 2 when I was opening up the screen. So I do know 2 of them. I don't know all of them, but we're going to give you what I got. So, question number 1. Where did this passion for healthy lifestyles and life longevity come from? Well, growing up and losing grandparents to cancer and watching other people around die from cancer, a lot of people in their area having cancer and kidney issues and all sorts of issues, everything you can imagine. And it's the true science hasn't been done there and tested to my knowledge, but it's pretty obvious to me and most people that it's a result of overuse of agrochemicals. So it was about graduated high school, started community college for a little bit, kind of quit going to class, and I started watching a lot of documentaries and studying and researching and trying to figure out what exactly was going on and if there was anything we could do about it. So it really all started from Netflix, to be honest. There were some really, really good documentaries. Forks Over Knives, Food Matters, Hungry for Change, Vitality, The Secret, pretty cheesy, but it got the law of attraction and manifestation into my mind, so it did its job for me. Many other ones, and I'm going to put a page linking all of these, because this is what started to answer the question. This is what changed my mind, what showed the benefits of a plant-based diet, the importance of positive mindset, kind of bringing all of it full circle. Vitality was really good, but it's off Netflix now, unless it came back in the last few months. No Netflix in the jungle. So, yeah, that's what got me started, and it's been a journey ever since then. After researching that, I was working at Smoothie King, and that kind of turned me away from Smoothie King because those were very sugar-laden fruit, processed fruits, strawberries soaked in sugar and defrosted when we get it, and too much sugar. The bananas are decent, but we have to wear gloves to peel them because your hands would turn black from pesticides, and they would tell you that, which is cool. I respect that they're protecting you, but I think they need to find a cleaner source. So as I was morphing and learning the documentaries, I was able to see the actual realistic situation of unhealthy foods advertised as healthy. So as I left Sprout, or as I left Smoothie King, I transitioned and got a job at Sprouts. And that was the fall of 2015. So, wait. Yeah. Fall of 2015. So, I worked at Sprouts through the winter into the spring. And I think it was February or March that I began doing antique shows. And those antique shows is what my mom had done part-time and full-time at one point, and what my sister had done part-time and full-time. So I knew how to do it, and it was restoration and recycling and reusing and taking old rusty stuff and making it look nice and selling it. Pretty common to what I was doing it, and now two and a half. And then I see now that I watch a lot of Gary Vee stuff on YouTube that he's been challenging people to do it. And it's brilliant. So it's interesting to see, but not to brag, I was doing it way before it was popular, thanks to my mom. So after doing that, I was able to start GrassFed, the website that had already been going. So at that point, I started to develop the thought process of the grass-fed way, which sounds like a cult. Many of my friends and I would laugh about. So I took that name out. Not that it's bad. It's just, I don't like it. So it is bad. So the kind of branches of that would be, the first one would be local organic plant-based diet, utilizing whole foods, not processed. If they are processed, very minimally processed with clean products and clean preservatives and lime juice, onion, garlic, things like that. Utilizing local crops, things that grow around you, so they don't need any chemicals. They don't, like my pumpkins in my yard, I don't need to put anything on them. Even we have natural preventatives and pesticides, but there's nothing. The ants like the flowers, but it doesn't affect the fruit. So as Santiago's been teaching me about the economic threshold, how much of the plant can get eaten and you not take a loss in yield. So for me, I don't care if the flowers lost because I don't eat them. And maybe I should start eating them. But a lot of the Mayan villages eat them, as you'll see in Rudy Juan's garden video. Post in the link below. So utilizing these local crops in a plant-based diet, whether it's vegan or eating meat, eating fish, eating eggs, whatever you eat, utilizing as many vegetables as possible, taking a more rounded approach to it. Rather than having the vegan and the carnivore arguing, just understand that at the end of the day, they just both want to be healthy. And in their minds, they're two different avenues to the same spot of feeling good about what they're doing and how they're living, how they're exercising, how they're eating. Bringing it all together, because at the end of the day, as I always explain with some of my friends, if the vegan can listen to the carnivore and work together to get clean food, to where carnivore or the, it's a very extreme, you know, there are a lot of people doing it though. I mean, you can look at it on YouTube and Google. People are talking a lot about it, and some people are having good effects. I wouldn't go towards it just because I like vegetables too much, and I don't think it'd be a well-rounded approach for my body. But that's just it. Everybody's body is different. So the second branch would be holistic medicine, utilizing natural remedies at the same time, a healing mindset, and understanding that what you are doing is healing, you are healthy. Continuing on to the third branch, which would be peace, love, and positivity. It sounds very cliche hippie, as the old people would say, but looking at the roots of it, it comes from logic and the Rat Pack and the message of spreading love and helping others, being a community, and that we're all the same, regardless of, as he would say, race, religion, color, creed, and sexual orientation. So it doesn't matter, we're all in this together. The fourth branch would be daily exercise, yoga, meditation, one or the other, all three, whichever you can do, just get out and move if you can, stretch if you can. If you can do a whole workout or a whole yoga session, then hoorah, but just do it, do your best and try to get out. The last part, to me, one of the most important parts, and the one that I, at this, I'll slack on taking my tinctures or my medicines and things like that. I'll slack a little bit on the diet, on the eating, but the things that I really won't slack on ever is the toxin-free household aspect of it. And that's what I wash my clothes with, what I wash my dishes with, what sort of deodorants and toothpastes and soaps, shampoos, things like that that I'll use, because that's, to me, that's one of the biggest aspects that people miss. They can have an effect on allergies and overall immune system. A lot of these things have carcinogens in them proven to cause cancer. So it's interesting, but to me, that's something that I don't slack on too much. So those are the five branches. That's the general mindset that it started from. So that's a very long answer to the first question, but I feel like that's where it came from, and that's what it started at, and to be honest, it's really where it's still at, just in different forms. Where and when? Question two. Where and when did the idea of grass-fed happen, which I just explained? More specifically, Angus and I, one of my buddies, would hang out at the lake and began to look into the plant-based diet through these documentaries, and we'd laugh about Angus grass-fed beef, and as we would see the documentaries, plant-based diet, it's like, well, a lot of these foods are grasses. So then it was, why not grass-fed? We're all grass-fed. So it's interesting the way it morphed, and like I said, it's really the same philosophy. It's just a matter of how we've morphed it to make it, to me, a little bit more realistic for everybody. Question three. How has living in Belize affected your life and the future of grass-fed? It's a good question, because in many ways it's one answer for both, but at the same time, grass-fed coming to Belize has split into Farm to Family Limited, which is a Belizean limited company focused on providing strictly chemical-free foods, whether it's raw food and, you know, raw produce, whether it's processed foods, whether it's moringa powders, whether it's soursop or lemongrass or neem, whether it's Kim's tinctures. We're working with master herbalist Kim Ringland to provide her products to a larger market. Face serums and toners made with all natural oils. My friend Lori of TacoGirl.com is using both of those right now and has had tremendous results. It's really, really, really a good product, and it's interesting to see. I mean, I don't use it. I'm a young guy, to be honest. I don't take any sort of cosmetic creams, but for any sort of older women, it's very, very nice, and the results are really incredible. So it's split into a new area, a new branch, a new market. I split the two. I didn't want grass-fed to be the company selling vegetables in Belize or importing into the U.S. because I want to be able to say whatever I want, and I'm going to say whatever I want. And if it's some sort of claim, then it will be backed up. If not, I'm not going to make claims that I can't back up, but I will speak my opinion, and I will state facts and back them up with facts and science. So I wanted to split the two because I didn't want to have a certain type of opinion or fact that someone didn't want to agree with. I didn't want to have that on the site and then link a direct logo through and blend the philosophies, although we're all, it's all the same. I didn't want to deal with an opinion on grass-fed getting slurred with farm-to-family and creating tension, because farm-to-family is just about food. No drama, no nothing. Just food. Just food. So, I believe, as I was telling someone yesterday, that the basic liberties in life would be, you know, life, or the basic, as they would say, things, unalienable rights, that's the word. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Well, I would add the accessibility to really clean, healthy, local food. I would add that. So, coming to Belize, it's interesting because I'm able to go around and film. I'm able to get the hands-on education, which I could get in the States, but the opportunity came up for me here, and I really, truly believe this is where I'm meant to be. I believe this is a place that I can grow with people, and I've been dropped into the scenario that I can learn from a completely plant-based chef, Mary Lone, one of my best friends in the world, master herbalist Kim Ringland, Santiago Wong. He's a master agronomist. I live on the farm of his father, Mr. Rudy Wong, who's also an agriculture expert. The whole family is experts in their respective fields. Paul Stevenson, ex-British soldier and glass artist. All sorts of very, very great minds that I'm blessed to learn and grow. So my life is morphing to whatever's coming my way, whether it's, let's go to an herb class, let's go cook some sort of vegetable, or let's go to some fruit stand in another village or town, or let's, anything can happen. Some days we'll go up to the ruins, some days we'll go up, I haven't been up to the pools in many months, but there's opportunities to go to the caves or pools or ride horses, or usually it's work, but all these possibilities arise. They will be coming more frequently as I begin to film more. But like this week on the island, I filmed at least 20 restaurants and maybe 3 or 4 other businesses besides that. So it's really fun just to get out there and talk to people and learn what people want when it comes to food. Not in a sales aspect, but just picking people's brain to learn from them and see, you know, what type of vegetables they like to eat, how they like to eat them, where they like to eat them, what's their favorite restaurant. So it's, I love, as you can tell, I love to talk. Anyone that knows me knows that I like to talk. So being somewhere like here where I'm seeing no less than 50 to 60 people, like direct contact with every day, whether it's a good morning or whether it's a 2-hour conversation, it's really, 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 really fun. So coming to Belize has changed grass-fed in the way of learning more, and for me in the way of balancing my life between work, which is filming or taking pictures and editing, making a video. I haven't been reading. As I look at the table of the book currently I've been carrying around for a few months now, which is Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. So I haven't been reading. I always have in case I want to read, but my time now has mostly been between the website, pictures and videos, and more pictures and more videos. So that's kind of how it's changed, and I really, 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 truly, truly know, actually, I don't think I know for a fact, that this is where I'm meant to be. Question number 4. Things you've learned along the way as a businessman. What to do and what not to do. I would say what to do is be consistent, and then second, be consistent, and then third, don't miss a day, be consistent. Because I've noticed that when I, well, now I haven't been, but before, maybe 3 or 4 months back, then I'd be like, yeah, I don't want to do Facebook and Instagram or Twitter or things like that today. And I noticed that my numbers weren't doing anything. My information that I was trying to share wasn't getting to anyone, and I would wonder why. And as I research and learn from people, social media experts, figuring out, I don't know the algorithms and all that, but I just know that just posts, just constantly getting content out, because everything from here on out is social. It's, we think video, physical, but the reality is it's going to go towards voice and more VR type things. Not like maybe it'll fly in, I don't know, but either way, voice is going to be major, and that's why things like this are going to be so popular. So this is episode 2. Pretty soon we'll be at episode 200. And maybe someday 2000. Who knows? So I want to thank you guys for being the first listeners, for joining me on this adventure, for helping me begin, for leaving comments and sharing and liking it, showing your friends. I have the utmost respect and love for my senior year English teacher, Mr. Brian Hantak, because he always shares my stuff, and it's really cool just to think that out of all the students he has, that every once in a while he posts this one on his share, on his feed. So it's really cool just the support and things that have come out of, well, one, just working my ass off, but two, being consistent with it and sharing. And just, if I do something, like my mom always says, she's like, man, what you're doing is like interesting. Like, not a lot of people are doing it. To me, it's every day, so I lose interest, but I just have to remember to be consistent. Be consistent. What not to do, try to grow too fast and have a lot of expenses. The reason I can do what I do is because I don't have the big bills like I did when I lived in Dallas. I don't have to worry about paying for gas because I just ride buses and taxis. I don't have to worry about going out and paying for drinks because I just hang out at the farm and work. So keeping expenses down is the biggest thing. So what not to do is spend a lot of money. Just stay cheap. Wait till, I don't know, I would say wait till you've made money, but once you have money, keep spending money. You're not going to have it anymore. So just live within your means and it'll all pay off. Question number 5. Any tips learned along the way? The biggest tip I would say is use things like Canva. Canva.com. Canva, like canvas without the S. I'll link that below as well. Use those things because they're easy and they're cheap. And you may think, oh, like I pay $13 a month. You may think that's a lot. But when you think of the time that it'll save you making infographics, logos, Twitter banners, and everything. All sorts of media, all sorts of graphics. They have templates. They have different fonts. They have, just check it out. They'll give you a free trial. It's really, really, really worth it. So tips is just try to find as many things that optimize your life. That way you don't have to work so hard. You can work smart. You can still work a lot of hours. But the more efficient and effective you're being by utilizing tools like that, like Canva, another one, Slack, supposedly. I'm going to look into it. I don't think it'll really be really optimal for me just because I don't have a ton of people that I message and contact, send files back and forth with. Eventually, that'll be cool, but just optimize through using applications. People have put a lot of time into different products. So use those, and I think they'll save a lot of time. Question number 6. Do you think you could have gotten as far as you have had you stayed in Texas? That's an interesting question again, because in some ways, the market is way bigger. You can go to events, you can go to festivals and see thousands of people daily. Here, you're more looking at the, as far as your direct market, much, much smaller. The social aspect of it is social media. It's very It's very similar. I can still reach the same market on social media. So that doesn't change. I wouldn't have the content that I have here for free. I mean, I could search for it, but having it is nice. And no, I don't think so, to answer it completely. I don't think I would. Question number 7. How have you changed personally embarking on this challenge? I'm a lot more patient. Living in Belize, it's a lot slower, so I'm definitely a lot more patient. I've calmed down a lot as a result of that, and also as a result of just working all the time. So I'm still hyper, but I've channeled that hyperness into being effective on the computer, being effective in the garden, whether it's hauling hay or picking up horse or cow poop or just digging holes, chopping the yard. I chop my yard with a machete. It sounds crazy, but it's not easier, but it's a good workout. And to me, it's not worth walking the lawnmower back and forth and putting any gas in it. So it takes an hour or two, but it's very fun. So I've gotten more patient. My work ethic's definitely increased. And I'm just working a lot more. So it's always cool because I knew I needed to put out content, that I needed to work. I needed to get the website better in Texas. But being around people and being here and learning, it's definitely increased my work ethic and my overall motivation. Question number 9. Any quotes or other forms of inspiration that keep you in mind for motivation? I listen to a lot of Joe Rogan, which to me is more informative, some of the inspirational type thing, but to me inspirational is just practical information. I mean, the hype up stuff like the Tony Robbins, I love that, I listen to it. But I like things that will more just plow information into your brain, keep you entertained, but engage you to where you're interested and inspired at the same time. Which, a lot of Gary Vee, a lot of Impact Theory with Tom Bailu, I think that's his name. And I'll link these below. Actually, I'm going to do a blog with this transcribed. I'll have the whole episode typed up. I'll have all the links. That way it's easier. So we'll do that, and I'll link the blog. I'll have it up in a day or two, and that'll be much easier. So I'll put a form below this. That way you can sign up for the newsletter. The blog will come out in the newsletter. The audio will come out a few days before. You'll have to check back to do it. And perfect. We'll have that set. So, motivation, many people, YouTube's great, just be smart with it. You can get into a wormhole where you spend hours listening or watching. To me, it's cool to listen and work. If I'm editing pictures, I'll turn on something like that just to play, and it all gets in your head. Pay attention as much as you can, but don't worry about, you know, hitting every word. You still need to focus on your work and be as meticulous with what you're doing and not mess up because you're listening to something, you're taking notes. Just if you want to listen to it more in-depthly, wait till you're done and go back and look over the parts that you're interested in. Question number 10. Where do you see GrassFed in the next 5 to 10 years? In 5 years, we'll be moving products into the United States by then. So multiple health food stores, maybe some bakeries, things like that will start to have Moringa grown in Belize in their products. Having the stores here in the country also selling the products. That way, Santiago's method, as he says, he's like, yeah, the U.S. market's awesome, but even if you're hitting 10% of the population here, you could have, you know, 30 to 40,000 people. So focusing on the local market to provide a cheap and affordable product that's grown without chemicals, processed in an environment where the product stays raw. We're going to look at doing capsules, at doing drinks, We have some a few things working out, and I'm not sharing this much with the public on product ideas and things like that, but as a way to spread it through the community to see what's actually going to work, this will be the spot to receive exclusive insights on these products, on the background of it, how to become an affiliate if you're interested, to help us spread the word. You know, if you're in a situation where you can spread it to a couple hundred people or even 50 people who are serious about it, then we'll work with you. You'll get free product to promote, and therefore you'll help us, we'll help you, and we can help spread the brand. So 5 years, products flowing, traveling and promoting the brand. 10 years, hosting large events, moving into education and festivals, but kind of linking them. I like the idea of the Envision Festival in Costa Rica. That's something that I thought about. Not to say that that was my idea too. No. But that kind of holistic approach to getting together and being positive. But I would like to do things like that, but incorporate bluegrass music and maybe a hip-hop artist, and trying to bring all of these people together, because in the right circumstances, it can all be enjoyed, and we can bring together and bridge the gaps and kind of take it to a new spectrum. So 5 years, products; 10 years, events. Less than 5 years, we'll have merchandise flowing, online content continuing to come out for free. That's what's going to be happening now, just free. All the information, garden updates, tours, just keep planting with Santiago Juan is out, part one and two. Part three we'll film this week when I get back to Cayo, which is going to be about seeds and getting seeds from the seed pack. Or the fruit, either one, ideally from the fruit, and getting it into the dirt, getting it sprouted, and then transplanting it into its spot that it will grow. So for now, it's just media. I want to thank Danny, because I was hesitating to do the podcast because the other one canceled, and figured out this idea of just sending over the questions. This worked really well. I like this. I'm definitely going to have a few more episodes. Ideally, the next few will have guests, because it's much more exciting to me. I get a lot more energetic because I love talking to people. But thank you for listening. I'm going to send you guys out with a song from the man at work, Mr. Terrell Godoy himself. I met him this week. He's an incredible man, a great musician, a great artist. We're going to be shooting some videos with him and doing some of his music videos, helping him get his YouTube up. Maybe even working towards promoting him on site and getting his music out. So thank you for listening to episode 2 of the Grassfed Podcast. Please subscribe, like, share with your friends. Let everyone know what's happening. The best way to keep in touch and figure out what we're doing is to subscribe to our email newsletter. We'll be putting those out at the beginning of every week as a way to share what's happening, some pictures, some links, whatever videos came out. Also, coupon codes and things that we're working with through our affiliates. If there's any deals we can get you on natural products, whether it's herbs or tinctures or bottling equipment or anything, that will all come through the email newsletter. We'll link that below.
I can hear your people say that Jah is love. Yes, Jah is love. Jah love will never fade away. See, love.
Jesus.